Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
All right, we're in year 2022. For some of you, this might be your first time gathering to worship in this year. And last week, we kicked off our theme for the year, which is New Fire. And the January theme is about next levels. So next levels this next year, which I addressed last week and then mentioned that we're going to be talking about four different things in this month. There are going to be five weekends, so there is left for time for four messages that Pastor Dreyer and I will be sharing with you. The first is today about developing your faith. The next one is to go to the next levels in your witness. The next after that is next levels in your giving. And finally, next levels in your serving. Next levels are pretty important. Now, if you are a serious athlete, you're always looking at next levels. You're never satisfied with what you have achieved so far in your skills, in your performance, in your speed, etc. You keep on working at it. You may even engage a coach so that he'll help you to do some things that you really don't want to do and that you haven't been doing on your own. But athlete is never satisfied with past performance, but always looks forward to the future, knowing that as you go along, the competition gets tougher, and so it is in the Christian life too, that there's a lot of tough competition. We've got a very tough opponent. So today we're going to talk about our next levels in developing our faith. And if you are worshiping here in the sanctuary, there is a handout that has an outline and space for notes, and actually the passages that we'll be looking at are printed out. And there's some things on there that our online worshipers may want to have, and so if you send me an email, I'll forward one of these to you in the next day or so, because here are some things you want to kind of hang out with for a little bit of time. So I'm also going to have some helpers. When I'm done talking up here, Herb is going to come up, and then Chuck, and they're going to talk a little bit more because they've been leaders in our program of discipling, and that is with our small groups, a pathway, which we call cross-training, and they've been teachers in this, and they are very passionate about what the Apostle Peter writes, and this is in 2 Peter 3, 18th verse, the first part of it, where he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, growing and maturing is the normal thing in the Christian life. There is a condition in kids that sometimes is referred to as FTT, namely failure to thrive, because somehow the nutrients are not reaching the cells of the body. And without that nutrition, the development, the physical development, just kind of stops at a certain point. The child does not grow. And that becomes a matter of great concern, and it gives rise to problems that come along in the future. Probably, if you have a scale, up in the top couple of joys in life, in a family is when a new baby comes into that family. There is the expectation that this baby is going to grow, it's going to mature. And it is the same in the Christian faith. When a person is born into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that person is a newborn Christian, but the expectation is that there will be growth and development rather than everything just kind of remaining at that new birth level. Because maturing would be the normal thing. And when there is a lack of spiritual nutrient, then growth is going to slow down and sometimes even stop. And as a result of that, there can be a lot of problems in life. So what God has provided for us is it's a power nutrition program. And it involves the Word and it involves the sacrament. You see, we are born into a relationship through the power of word and sacrament, and then we are maintained and we are given the ability to grow through those power nutrients. We want to grow, we want to mature. And all of that, God's passionate about that, because what God wants for us is to experience everything that he has put into the benefits package of our salvation. You know, for example, you want to have love, peace, joy. You want to experience forgiveness, wisdom, strength, guidance, the active presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, deliverance from the devil and the curse, and sanctification of mind and emotion. He's provided the opportunity, the nutrients for that to be taking place in our lives. So we now are going to walk through another part of 2 Peter, and we're going into the first chapter. And again, on this handout, there are some places where you can take some notes, and you can follow along both on the screen and on the paper as we go to 2 Peter chapter 1 in the third verse, which tells us about next levels, next levels. Now, it starts off saying, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So I would ask you just circle all things, already given, already granted, done deal through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his ascension into heaven, ruling over all things and sending the Holy Spirit, already everything granted, everything that you need to live the Christian life. But sometimes people get very discouraged. They get very frustrated. They say, I just can't pull this thing off. I have so much difficulty living out the Christian life. You know, God knows I'm trying, but the problem is very simple. It is trusting in self, our own natural powers, to give us the ability to walk in obedience and to walk in a consistent relationship with our Lord. Now, faith does this. It transfers trust from self onto Jesus Christ. It moves from trying to trusting and then relying on his ability and not on our own. Let's move on. 2 Peter chapter 1, the second part of verse 3 and then into verse 4, we read, through the knowledge of him, all of this takes place, it says, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. So underline knowledge of him, because we're going to talk a little bit about that. What is that? It actually is a personal relationship. See, he calls us into relationship. Now, the core of a marriage is that there is relationship, and in that relationship, there is intimacy. It is not meant to be simply surface-to-surface, but center-to-center kind of relationship, and that's how God wants a relationship with us, because he wants to share himself completely with our complete and whole self. He wants us to experience that oneness and that closeness with him, and that is the word knowledge, which means intimacy. It is not just knowledge about. It doesn't say knowledge about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but knowledge of him. And then it refers to having been called into that. You know, when mom calls you in for dinner, that's a summons. She expects you to be there. She expects you to come. It's not just, she's just not, exercising her vocal cords. The calling, but the calling, the summons into that relationship in which he does this. He shares with us his glory and his excellence, calls us into that kind of a relationship. For example, think about the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians, in the third chapter, it talks about our ongoing relationship in which we are being transformed, being changed from one degree of glory to another. How does that happen? When we're looking at him, how do you look at him? You look at him through the Word. That's the portal into which we can see him and his sacraments as well. And in the 34th Psalm, it says, those who look to him are radiant. We get to experience the radiance, the glory, the excellence of our Savior Jesus Christ. And then it refers to promises. And you might want to underline that word promises, because that's an extremely important thing here. It's very great and precious promises that he has for us. Those promises, well, think of them as promissory legal documents. Every promise that there is in the Bible, did you know that God would keep that promise if he's made the promise? And again, this is what in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes that all God's promises find their yes in Jesus Christ. So it's centered on Jesus Christ. It's centered on the cross. Every promise of God, you never go far away from the cross and, you know, oh, God promised me this and God promised me that, but everything is seen through the lens of the cross of Jesus Christ. And again, he really wants to lavishly bestow upon us every blessing that he has in mind for us, the promises that he has made. So you take them, you cash them in. They're like checks in a sense. And you go to the Lord and say, Lord, you promised. And then you just simply trust and see if he comes through. Well, by the way, for all of us, there's an app for that. Did you know? I'm holding it right here. The owner's manual, the Bible, that's really important. You know, think of the last gadget that you got. Maybe it was something, you know, if you like to cook, I like to cook. And so if I get something, you know, that you plug in and you program, boy, I got to go to the owner's manual. I got to know how that thing works. Or you get a new car, you go to the owner's manual. You know, how do you maintain it? How do you get the most use out of it? And that's what this does. This is the owner's manual that helps us to get the most use out of what God has invested in it, because he wants to invest in us. Okay, we're going to move on to the next part of the passage, and that is the second half of verse 4, where it says, so that through them, that is the promises of God, you may become, get this, partakers of the divine nature. Did he really say that? Partakers of the divine nature, having done what? Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So sin, the sinful desire, no longer rules us, just like, you know, the great escape in the Old Testament, the Exodus, the people of Israel getting, you know, who were slaves, and they escape. They're no longer under the bondage of the slave masters, and that's one of the wonderful privileges that we have in Jesus Christ. We're no longer the slaves. Instead, we become partakers. We take a part in. We have a part in, a share in. We're shareholders, in a sense, that God is living in you and you in God. His very nature, which is like love and righteousness and justice and holiness, do you know what? As you're living in him, those characteristics get to be more and more and more a part of you. In contrast would be the sinful desire, but he says, you have escaped from that. You have still the opportunity to sin. We all know that, right? Okay, you've experienced that? Yeah, already this morning, sure. Okay, but the obligation to sin is past. We are no longer under that obligation. We are partakers of a divine nature in contrast to the sinful human nature through the power of the Word of God. Now, through that, our faith keeps growing to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And we've got now a brand new objective in life, and that is no longer the self-focused, self-absorbed kind of a life, but redeemed from that for something greater and something higher. And the Christian life, unless we have a failure to thrive, is like going step by step, baby steps sometimes, you know, into next levels. And we're going to talk about some of those next levels as we go to the fifth verse of 2 Peter 1. And it says, for this reason, very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Okay, now starts with faith. Everything starts saving faith in Jesus Christ, which then moves us to want more and more of what it is that God has included in his benefits package of salvation for us. Moves us more into those blessings, the adventure of the Christian life, and those wonderful spiritual disciplines which so enrich our lives. So what do we do? What do we supplement our faith with? The first thing it says is with virtue, which is a moral excellence, no longer living in the ways of the world, which are so often degrading to humanity, but instead we're up on a different level. Virtue. But with virtue, what comes next? With virtue, and virtue then supplement that with knowledge. Knowledge, by the way, going back to it, is not so much what you know, it's who you know. But if you're knowing Jesus Christ, you want to know more about him. You want to know everything about him. You want to go to the Word. You want to be in that place which tells us about his grace and his love. And then what do? And then knowledge, okay, we add to that self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit, that as your faith grows more, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of those things, the fruit of the Spirit, that self-control, the last on that list. And then with self-control comes steadfastness, that your life begins to have more stability, more dependability, because you become a more dependable and a more stable individual. And then with that, with steadfastness, okay, and steadfastness at with godliness, that's God-likeness, so that you are like God because he's living in you. He is at work to produce in you the right thoughts, the right words, the right actions. So you begin to think God's thoughts more and more. You say, Lord, I want your thoughts to be my thoughts. And then with godliness, brotherly affection, genuine friendship, caring really about other people. And that is also connected to what we call Christian fellowship, brotherly affection. And then to that we add, finally, love, which is at the top of the list. And that is when you are completely sold out, sacrificed yourself, you know, living sacrifice. You're holding nothing back. Okay, are you there yet? I'm not. But you know what? I can go to the next level from where I am. And that's the beautiful thing. Moving on to the next level in the power of the Lord. And so let's see what it says about this. And it says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, and of course, increasing, growing, maturing, that's normal in the physical realm. It is normal in the spiritual realm too. And they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be effective, to be fruitful, growing, maturing in your faith walk, learning to put God first in your life and to live joyfully in this kind of a celebratory way of life, you know, in that wonderful presence. Well, I'm going to give you five simple things, simple secrets that you already know, okay? I'm not going to tell you anything new. And you know what? I already know how to be a better Christian than what I am, but sometimes I need to go back and look at this, all right? So it's also printed out for you, and again, online, folks, I'd be glad to send you a copy of this, so just text me or email me, and I'll get it your way real soon. So look at these five simple secrets. The first one, you know this already, don't you? Yeah, I know how to do that. Do I do it? Not quite like I should. Be in your Bible regularly. Set aside time when you are in your prime. Don't try to do it when you're falling asleep. For me, that means don't do it in the morning when I get up. You know, I need to be out. You know, everything has to circulate a while. The coffee has to, you know, have a chance to wake me up. So I have to find the time when I'm most alert, my best time. I don't want to give God my leftover time, okay? So give him your best time to be in your Bible regularly. Ruth Ann says, you know, she suggests even reading the Bible through in a year. And so I was asking her, how long does it take? It's It takes a little bit of time. And it would take me a long time because I get, when you start getting in the Bible, there's so much that is so fascinating, so interesting, you want to go to the next thing and you check this out and so forth. I couldn't, if I read it full time, I probably couldn't get it done in a whole year. But here's what you got to do is set aside the time. Second thing is seek to intentionally apply it to your life. This is not just theoretical knowledge. This is, you know, there's a theoretical science and there's applied science. There's theoretical, you know, Bible study, and there is applied Bible study. You need a little bit of each. And then we need to have people that we can share it with. That's why we have these small groups in our cross-training program. You're going to hear about that, I promise you, in the next 3 minutes. Okay. Third thing, the third thing, fellowship with other Christians, because Christianity is a corporate experience. It's not an individual thing. And then the next thing is you keep balance. You're going to thrive when you have balance of food, that's your nutrition, that's word and sacrament, exercise, which is obedience and serving other people and expressing love, and rest, which is just simply relaxing and resting in the grace of God instead of trying to perform your way into, you know, the better graces of God. And then finally, confess your sins. Don said this morning, you know, we need to confess our sins. And that's, he is right. We need to do that. And repent of those bad habits, like my laziness, you know, or my putting something else ahead of studying the Word. Confessing sins, repenting. Sounds a little bit like what Martin Luther said when he's explaining about the significance, daily significance of baptism. And he says that by daily contrition and repentance, that old man is drowned daily, you know, with all sins and those evil thoughts and things. And that every day, the new person, the new nature comes up. You know what? You're as that happens, it's like you continue to walk wet in your baptism. What a great privilege that is. Now, the Word, that's the fuel that ignites this whole thing. The Holy Spirit is the fire. It grows our faith, the new fire. And when it says grow in grace, it doesn't mean do something so you get more grace. Because you know what? In the cross, 100% of God's grace is bestowed, offered, given. It's yours. And as a matter of fact, even your sin can't mean you're going to get less grace. It's always infinite, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. To grow in grace really is to grow in, number one, understanding that grace, because it is so much richer than what we typically think of. The grace touches every aspect of life. Okay, and then the next thing is to appreciate that grace. Say, wow, I'm living in grace. You know, thank you, Lord. What a great honor. What a great privilege. And then the experience of that grace, moment by moment in our lives. Okay, so I've talked enough about it. Now it's time for you to do something, and that is, would you like to have a make some kind of a commitment or develop some kind of a plan, start a plan for your faith development? Okay, so that's the last part on here. And again, online congregation, I'd be glad to send you one. Just ask my plan. Take this home with you, stick it in your Bible, and then, like, you want to have a goal. Should you have a goal for next year? Basically, it kind of goes like this. Do you want to come out at the end of 2022 at exactly the same spot where you started? Right answer, yes, no way. We want to be ahead of where we are now. So it's important that we actually sit down and think about that and begin to take action. But maybe you say, I've already got a plan for ongoing spiritual growth I'm very satisfied with. Okay, if it's keeping you growing, keep on going. Then another possibility is that I will plan to set, I commit to a weekly time with a cross-training small group. Cross-training. Are you ready, Herb and Chuck? Okay, you can tell us a little bit about that. And time with God regularly, which means the next one is then you're going to have to give up something. Oh. I mean, we can't add on without giving something up, because you're probably doing something that you shouldn't be doing or taking too long at it, that really it should be just you and God kind of time, or, you know, involved in your spiritual growth, and then committing to regularly worshiping with the church as your top priority.